Either way, this is a fascinating topic, and really it gives us a little bit of an appreciation to the context of the times of the Purim story, that it happens circa the end of Galus Bavel. So just to end with one postscript, not a raid bite, but one postscript to the second part of the daf. Again, just to appreciate the historical significance of the Purim story, which is what we're about to learn now, a little bit better. And that is, so the Purim story happened at the very, very end of the 70 years of Galus Bavel. So the Yidden went into Galus Bavel for the first time as an entire nation. It was 70 years. The Galus happened in different phases, and as a result, the redemption also happened in different phases. And then at the very, very end, the Purim story happened. But just to appreciate it a little bit better, and again, it flows very much from today's daf, and that is that Koresh was the second Persian king after the Malchus of Babel came down. So the Malchus of Babel lasted for 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar, 45 years. Elvam Meroitech, 23 years. And then Belshazzar. Belshazzar gets killed. He's killed by the Persians. The Persians and the Medes, they had this joint venture. They came together and they knocked out the Babylonian Empire. The first king that became king of that empire was a fellow by the name of Dariavesh. He's 62 years old. He lived for a total of 1 year after he became king. After he became king, Koresh, secularly known as Cyrus the Great, he becomes the next king. And the first thing he does is he changes his foreign policy towards the Jews. He tells the Jews that, I know that my predecessors, and you know, we are, the Babylonian Empire destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Well, we're going to shift the way we see things. You can go build a Beis HaMikdash. Take the Kalim back. It's all yours. Go back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, you would have thought all the Jews would have jumped on this opportunity. It's not what happened. There were 42 some odd thousand Yidden that went. Even Ezra didn't go, Chazal say. But the point is, the Yidden go, and they start building the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, they built the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. They built the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. Several years later, people started complaining to the Persian Empire. The Jews are rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and we smell trouble. They lobbied the king and the king brought a halt to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. You know who that king was? His name was Achashverosh. This was several years later, about 4 or 5 years later. Achashverosh is now the king and he's the one that stops it. In fact, it's a pasuk in Ezra. Gemar mentioned it in today's daf, fleetingly. U'bemalchus Achashverosh, betchilas malchusai, in the beginning of his kingdom, kosfu sitna al yoshve Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. So this is an important connection, understanding who Achashverosh is. The Persian Empire, their policy towards the Jews, let them rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Live and let live. Not just that. We'll even help you. We'll bankroll it. Achashverosh now becomes king. He's the third king of this Persian Empire. He walks in, betchilas malchusai kosfu sitna al yoshve Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. He gets the Yidden to stop. He says, no, you're not going to be able to build a Beis HaMikdash anymore. And the construction is halted and remained halted throughout the 14 years that Achashverosh was king. It was Achashverosh's son Dariavesh, who was also Esther's son. 2 years into his malchus, he gave the Yidden permission again to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Achashverosh's legacy is, of course, the Purim story. But almost as significant, Achashverosh actually caused the Yidden to stop building the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's take a step back. With that basic fact, Psukim and Sefer Ezra, there's different chazals we can appreciate a little bit better. The Gemara said in today's daf, why was Achashverosh called Achashverosh? He was Achav L'Rosh. He was like a brother. To who? To Nebuchadnezzar. He was Ben Giloy Shel Rosh. He rolled the same way Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Where do you find Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Achashverosh didn't live at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. No, no, no. They had already built the Yesod of the Beis HaMikdash. Construction was happening. There were crews working, making klah, mibefnim, mibachutz, makriv and afal pishayim bayis. And all of a sudden Achashverosh comes and he says, no, stop. Who does this sound like? This sounds like Nebuchadnezzar. That's exactly what the Gemara says. We know that Achashverosh, throughout the Megillah, is going to offer Esther at Chatzi Amalchus. You can have whatever you want, but only up to Chatzi Amalchus. The Gemara says, what do you mean at Chatzi Amalchus? Not the whole Malchus? The Gemara says, no, what he meant to say was, I'll give you up to Chatzi Amalchus, but V'loy Adover HaChoytzeitz Ben Amalchus. You can't have the thing that's in the middle of my Malchus, which is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, which the Gemara says is Gevaya Mikol Arotzis, it's in the middle of the world, whatever. But the point is Achashverosh told Esther, I'll give you whatever you want, you're just not getting the Beis HaMikdash. So Achashverosh has something for the Beis HaMikdash. And Achashverosh's agenda is to make sure that the Yidden are not going to have a Beis HaMikdash. But it's even more fascinating. Because if you go through Ezra Perek Dalet says that Achashverosh was lobbied. There were people that lobbied Achashverosh, and they wanted to make sure that Achashverosh would not allow the Yidden to continue to build the Beis HaMikdash. You know those people were? Rashi says in Megillas Esther, on the Pasnik, Aseres B'nei Haman, Zok Tehelger Rashi, Ro'isi B'Seder Oilam. I saw in Seder Oilam. Seder Oilam is the first history work that was ever written. It was written by Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So said Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, Aseres B'nei Haman, Elu Asara Shekosfu Sitna Al Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. These were the 10 people that were involved in the Sitna, in this decree that made sure that the Yidden would not be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. K'may Shekosfu B'Seifa Ezra Perek Dalet, U'B'malchus HaChashverosh B'tchilas Malchusoy Kosfu Sitna Al Yoshve Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. U'mahi HaSitna, what was the Sitna? Levata Lo'oyla Min HaGoyla B'mei Koyresh, to stop the people that were going to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Koyresh, She'eschilu that started building the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kutim got involved and they got them to stop. When Koresh died, Achashverosh became king. And then Haman became a Gansa Knacker. He wanted to make sure that Achashverosh was going to stop. And that's when it stopped. So Achashverosh is Achiv Shal Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one that the Pasuk says in Ezra stopped the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. He told Esther, Atchatzi, I'll give you whatever you want, Atchatzi Amalchus. And throughout the 14 years of his reign, even though he was married to Esther for so many of those years, nothing happened as far as the Beis HaMikdash goes. But what got him to that point? Who moved him? The same person that got him to sign the decree, Lahashmedu Laharig. It was Haman, but not just Haman. Haman and his 10 sons. Haman and his 10 sons, they're the ones that made sure that the Beis HaMikdash would not be rebuilt. But we know the end of the story. The end of the story is eventually Achashverosh died. And when Achashverosh died, his son became the next king. The son's name was Daryavish. Daryavish had a father, Achashverosh. His mother was Esther Amalka. Daryavish was very, very young. If you just do the math, on all accounts, he was very, very young at the time. And it's very, very obvious that Daryavish's mother, Esther Hamalka, is whispering into Daryavish's ear when he's making some of these global decisions. And Daryavish is the one that gives the Yidden permission to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. And if you think about it, it's no question that this is part of the Venahapachu of what happened during the Purim story. Achashverosh is Achiv Shal Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Haman Vaseres Banav, more than anything else, what they want is to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. But then the whole Purim story happened. Vashti gets killed, and eventually Esther becomes the queen. And Esther's own son becomes the king of Persia. He is now suddenly the one that's writing checks that literally can finance things as great as the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Esther whispers into her son's ear and says, this is something that's very, very important to the Jews. The Kachava. And the Yidden ended up having the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, where did the money come from to build the Beis HaMikdash? We saw that at the beginning of the daf. It came from Haman. It came from his sons. So Haman and his sons, who were Moisei Nefesh, who made it their lifelong agenda to make sure there would be no Beis HaMikdash. Not only was there a Beis HaMikdash, not only did it come through Mordechai and everything that they were trying to destroy, they actually paid for the Beis HaMikdash. Is there a bigger Venapachu than that? The Venapachu LaYehudim was that they literally end up financing the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So, of course, the Purim story in and of itself doesn't need any help. It's an incredible story. It's a miracle where there was a decree of a final solution where ultimately it ended up being LaYehudim Ma'isa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasayin V'Yikar. But the Purim story also led to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Purim story, Achashverosh, Haman, Aseres Banav, they're very much interwoven with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to say, what do you mean? I thought Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzradan destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. This is true. But in the beginning of the Malchus of Koresh, which was right after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, Koresh gave the Yidden permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And Koresh now is going and he wants to rebuild it. And the Yidden go and they have money and they even take some of the kelim. In fact, one of the kashas the Rishonim ask is, Achashverosh took the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. I thought when Koresh sent the Jews to Eretz Yisrael, they took the kelim with them. The Ramban asks this kasha. This is a Ramban's kasha here in Masechtas Megillah. But the point is, they go up to Eretz Yisrael, they have all the kelim, and they even dig a, they literally, they pour a foundation renovation, and they're about to go now, and they're going to rebuild the second base of Mikdash. Achashverosh and Haman stop it. After the Purim story, Esther becomes the queen of Persia. That allows the Yidden now to rebuild the second base of Mikdash. And again, this whole maisa of in the Nahapachu, especially Haman Vaseres Banav, everything they tried doing ended up backfiring, so much so that it was all the money of Haman, everything that he had amassed, everything that he used his power for, ended up 100% being what caused the construction. And this is just a connection between the Purim story and the second base of Mikdash.